Hello and welcome. I want to talk in this video about the factors that drive men's willingness to self-sacrifice, the processes involved, and the steps men can take to further their own lives, independent of the perceptions that see males only as disposable resources. Yeah, a lot of focus has been placed on the disposability of males, you know, in the sphere of men's rights, but not so much on why men so willingly sacrifice their freedoms and their lives so readily. Now, if we look at relationships between men and women, there's always going to be sacrifice and compromise. And one partner is always going to be sacrificing more. Now, it shouldn't be that way, but it often is. And women, they're generally heralded as the ones making the most sacrifices. But this is a generalization. Now, there's never even been a discussion acknowledging male sacrifice in relationships. Now, a lot of finger pointing at the male, but not much discussion. So a man has to ask himself, you know, whether his sacrifices actually further that relationship and whether it's reciprocal. And if not, then he needs to leave. Otherwise, in very simple terms, he may be running up a tab where that debt will be called in. You know full well the legal risks the men face when they're cohabitating with, when they marry a woman. But it's rare to find anyone that appreciates the level of risk that that man's taking. You know, what's earned from the sweat of a man's brow is seen as entitlements to be extracted from that man, and nothing else. You know, what a man goes through, the years of depriving himself he has to put in to accumulate capital, it's lost in the legal process. And it's the most disrespectful thing. Now, everything is reduced to a number. But most men, they realize pretty early on that that no one is going to be there to carry us. You know, that a man lives by his choices and by his hard work. Yet men, they'll throw their dreams and their earnings down the toilet in a heartbeat to appease a woman. But in truth, a man's sacrifice, it's part and parcel of being a man. But it has to be a choice made by your own volition. A man has to be prepared to sacrifice to achieve his goals. And yeah, compromise is key too. Nothing comes easy. But compromise by his definition. You know, you give action to get action. But if you have to compromise your ideals, your freedoms, or your principles for other people, then you're nothing but a utility. Men, they need skills, they need experiences. Now, having knowledge is fine, but you know, applying that knowledge and navigating it in very treacherous waters is another matter entirely. Now, if we talk about a man being one step away from relapsing into a blue pill state, you know, I think a lot of that is due to that man not having the right behaviours, the right compensatory behaviours, and the right life skills in place to be able to stick to his guns. So a man, he needs to be always increasing his awareness and strengthening his resolve through practical application of that awareness. Now, women, they shit test men all the time. So men need to constantly be testing their own resolve. Now, it's like with a virus. You build up a resistance. So theory is fine, but living it is another thing altogether. So, why do men sacrifice? Why are men so willing to be the knight in shining armor? And there's different theories why people sacrifice. Some theories are that we do it to gain something from our supposed altruism, you know, either now or in the future, or that it's an avoidance strategy. Now, also, of course, that altruistic actions, they can be seen as inherently selfish. That we do it to feel good, that there's a payoff. You combine this with a biological urge to procreate and protect, and a whole raft of societal messages, guilt, shaming. This is how men have been manipulated for centuries. A man who steps out of the role of disposable male, he gets slapped down. And he who conforms gets a pat on the head, and a blowjob if he's lucky. Or just gets spat out the orifice of the family court. And it's other men that keep the ball and gag firmly in place, attacking any man who questions his own intrinsic worth as a human being. So male life, male ingenuity, male productivity, they've always been the driving force of civilization, and it still is. Contrary to the media and societal messages fed to young boys, that they and their entire sex are worthless. So this acceptance, this disregard towards male disposability, it can be argued it's a modern occurrence. In ancient times, the same cycle of male disposability was present, but male sacrifice was seen as a last resort, and that sacrifice was respected, as was masculinity. The manipulation, it was still present, to keep the cycle of disposability in play from generation to generation. But male life, it was valued, as opposed to today, because men are wearing the black hat and women are wearing the white hat, so male disposability is just fine. And males were expected to adhere to traditional roles, even though women aren't, and that's deemed female empowerment. So little boys, they're told they're a waste of space, because women can rely more on big daddy government now, and affirmative action policies, and because technology has made traditional male occupations increasingly redundant, even though men have created and maintained that technology. So if anything, I really believe males are more needed now than they've ever been. It's a big machine, and if the cogs start falling off, there's going to be trouble. But women are weak. Women are children. This is a message that feminism and society feed women. This base level of reasoning, it manipulates our consciousness. It shames us. Shame on you for being male. Here's your shame sandwich. Go and take a bite. And any man that doesn't step up, he gets cut out of the mix. He gets cut out socially, emotionally, financially. He gets castrated on all fronts. So this drive, this compulsion to sacrifice, it starts in childhood. There's a lot of factors we can blame. Absent role models. As a result of state-sanctioned single motherhood and a biased court system. A lack of male teachers. Spousal projection by the mother. All of this. They don't exactly allow a boy to develop a healthy male identity. Combine this with the 24/7 slagging off of masculinity. This can only lead to serious dysfunction. A lot of times, the expectations on these young men, they're immense. And it can lead to feelings of inadequacy. His mother's, and society's projection onto him. They can make him feel unworthy of a future relationship, or even unworthy of his own happiness. Now, many men, they go through their whole lives like this. Many of these men, they feel like failures, because they can't reach the bar that was set for them. So criticism, it can be crippling to these men, and they associate any criticism as an attack on their masculinity, which is, again, an identity fabricated by others to make him feel worthless, so he's servile. If you look at it, the first female a boy learns to please and capitulate to is his mother. Now, his needs go out the window. There's so many men I know that they were made to feel that they were the root cause of their mother's discontent and her failures in life. And any man that enters a relationship with this mindset, he's going to be a walking doormat, and he'll do anything to avoid conflict, do anything to stop from upsetting mother. So this man, he can't give voice to his own needs. He learned to ignore his own wants growing up, and his partner's needs, they're too much for him, because all he wants to do is avoid conflict. That's all he knows how to do. So he already feels like a failure. You can imagine that the sword of impending doom is hanging over his head at all times. And if you ask a man like this, you ask him, he'll minimize or disregard his own needs as being of value. Now, how many times have we heard men say that men are simple creatures, men have simple needs? That's just their internal script running. Yeah, the angriest men I've ever met have been men who harbour resentment towards their mother. She crushed his spirit, essentially raped his self-esteem. A lot of these guys say they felt less than human. So, you know, I mean, they have a lot in common with sexual abuse survivors. There's a lot of the same dynamics. So what you have is a man repressing his resentment and his affections. And he feels neither is safe to express, and he doesn't feel worthy of expressing either. And he doesn't believe he's worthy of love or respect. So, you know, this is really the Walking Dead. A man with no sense of identity other than that derived from others' approval and expectations. You know, living for that little pat on the head, or the embrace he feels he hasn't earned and also resents. I mean, seriously. What a head fuck. So, now, I feel there's a difference between being self-defeatist and being proactive about furthering your life. Now, I get so many messages from young guys saying how they've given up on life and how they've reduced their contact now with the outside world to just work and home, and that's it. In many ways, taking this approach, it really is still just buying into the indoctrination that you have no worth past what society deems your worth to be. It's self-defeating. I mean, yes, the risks are real, but deprivation is not the answer. Neither is waiting for some social collapse that may or may not happen within our lifetime. So a man, he always needs goals. Otherwise, realistically, he's depriving himself. Because life, it should always be about empowering yourself and advancing your life. And this, all of this, is about creating a roll-on effect. Now, the mountain is high, I get it. And there's a lot of hazards, but that's why men need to be ready to step up and defend themselves. Now, it's a mindset. Sharpen body, sharpen mind. And men on the whole, they don't do a good enough job of looking after themselves, physically. And a lot of that can be put down to the how little focus is put on male health. But we don't have to be statistics. You know, taking pride in our own physical and mental well-being is important. You know, it empowers a man, it raises his self-esteem. And life, I mean, life is only futile if someone chooses to view it in that respect. Masculinity should never be about deprivation or victimhood. It should be about moving forward and garnering a deeper understanding of yourself and other men and motives, causes, what have you. It should always be about moving forward. The man that prioritizes his needs and his health, that sets an example for people to emulate. And it's also a very powerful statement, don't tread on me. And many of us, in life, we get distracted by pointless things. We become reactive instead of proactive. And it becomes, very easy to just disengage. And a lack of clarity about goals can feed into this too. But if we're living out of whack with what our true values and principles are, then we're going to miss experiences, we're going to miss opportunities, and end up living our lives in regret. I mean, if you do this exercise, if you make a list of things that you value the most in life, that truly matter to you, then you make a separate list of things you focus most of your time thinking about, and then you compare both lists, and 9 times out of 10, you'll see that they're completely different. So, people's energy, for the most part, it's going in the wrong direction. Now, what's needed is focus, clarity, and action. And all of us, I mean, we get caught up in day-to-day drama. We get caught up in mudslinging and taking things personally. But someone's opinion of you can only define you if you allow them to. And they're not worth the investment. And every man should always look at every interaction in terms of return for that investment. Now, what do I gain? What do I stand to lose? Because I guarantee you that others do. But you know, men on the whole, they're resistant to evaluating life's interactions in this way. But it's time to let go of that conditioning. You know, man's mindset, his thought process, it's formed out of repetition ever since childhood. But this is a cycle that can be broken. And it's the same way that addiction is confronted. Now, you replace that behavior with another, one that benefits you. And a man is not his thoughts. He's not his biology. He can rise above. Many may disagree with me, but you know, I've worked with murderers. And I've worked with a lot of addicts who have done it. Men who are quite literally emotional roadkill. So there's really no excuses. Not in my book. Now, if a man is stuck focusing on negatives, or the what-ifs, you know, he misses the opportunities for growth. And that's what obstacles are. You know, there's something to be said for a man who perseveres. And truthfully, I've learned more from men who have been on the bottom rung of society than I ever have from intellectuals. And that's not derision. It's just a fact. And these men, ex-inmates, addicts, they did the impossible. And they found forgiveness for the people who shit on them. And their forgiveness, it wasn't about letting these people off the hook. It was about making the choice to live on their own terms. Those people no longer had any power over them. And they were finally able to let go and stop dragging the past into the present. Well, they saw that, by blaming others, that they never moved forward, they got stuck in a loop. And in turn, they felt resentment and hostility, so their choices in life reflected that. And they just dug themselves into a deeper hole. I mean, if you think about the last time that someone insulted you or hurt you, and how you processed that. Now, afterwards, how did it play out in your mind? And did you have revenge fantasies? Now, did you think about how you could get that person back? And that's very natural. But every action we engage in, there's a payoff. So you need to ask, what do I get out of this? And identify it. Like venting anger, for instance, it can be addictive. You get a dopamine rush, it feels good. And many things, even depression, has payoffs. It feeds a guilt complex. But it can end up like sitting in a prison cell, all of your own making. And guys that I've known, that have done time for very serious assaults, when someone insults them, they felt their masculinity was insulted, so they acted out. And the payoff was the empowerment they felt from feeling anger, getting that chemical rush, without stopping to realize that their definition of masculinity was defined by others and not them. They lost everything before they realized they were only fighting a perception that wasn't even theirs to begin with. So, you're empowered only when you shake off others' perceptions of you. And every man, his ability to choose how he perceives things and how he reacts and the value he gives to it. And what you get from life, what you get out of life in terms of knowledge and experience, really, it doesn't mean jack shit until it's channeled constructively into actions that benefit and advance you. If you get kicked in the teeth, use that pain. Use it to get where you need to be. If a man is stuck in a pattern of negative thinking and beliefs, then he's not open to new experiences and knowledge. He can't evolve. So a man has to have a plan, he has to have goals. And the higher a man's standards, the more he'll demand of himself, and the better his life will be. Now, a man with no goals and no drive, he runs a very real risk of being tread on. So it's important how we project ourselves to the world, because there's no safety net for men. You know, I work with a lot of very angry men, and resentment and anger, they're a process to work through, and it shouldn't be minimized. But after time, it can do a lot of harm, and it's very self-limiting. You know, quite simply, I mean, you can't be happy and content if you're angry and resentful. So identifying what behavior helps you reach your goals and which behaviors don't, the key in finding contentment. You find out what works and you discard the rest. So a man needs to ask himself, is he living a reactive life on someone else's terms? Or is he applying all the knowledge he's gained from having life experiences to carve out a better life for himself? Now, you adapt or you perish. That's natural selection. Anyway, that's all I want to talk about tonight, but I want to thank you for your time. Keep on trucking. Thank you.